10. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 18. And I'm grateful that I had last week to travel. We had not seen my mom in some time, and we were able to fly to Texas and back. And we had a really incredible time with her, with other family. And I'm grateful that Dale was able to be part of the worship last week and lead out and to preach the sermon. And Dale, thank you. You did a great job. What was really fun for me and very wondrous is that I was able to connect through Facebook Live. We've talked about it, and we've had it as an option, but I was not able to be in any other church on that Sunday morning, but I was able to be with Crosspoint via the internet and through Facebook. And I tell you, I just went into another room. I sang along with all the songs. I listened to the sermon, and I was interacting with people on Facebook. It was really a great experience, and I felt like I had been part of this experience, even though I wasn't in person. And so that was a wonderful opportunity for me to see that it's quite possible for us to do this technology and to continue. And we want to do that. We want to help people be safe, and those that need to stay away, and those who just aren't comfortable yet being in person, although we're trying our very best to be socially distant here on a Sunday morning, to wear masks as much as possible, and to do all that we can to keep each other safe. We realize ultimately, though, that our lives are in God's hands, and we're going to trust Him. We're going to trust that no matter what's going on in life, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's racial unrest, whether it is politics, we're going to trust God ultimately. We're going to look to Him. We're going to seek to glorify Him. We're going to seek to make much of Him and not ourselves, not about our differences, not about the things that we're looking at in this world in this exact time frame. You know, some people might wonder about me and say, well, Doug, you're certainly naive about things. And no, I'm not naive. I realize that there's much heartache in this world. Things are sad. They're not the way that we think they should be. And we know that they're not the way God designed His perfect world, His good world. And we grieve that. And we're sad about that. And if we let ourselves, we could be consumed by all the negative things, all of the heartache that's going on in our world. But as we keep our focus to God, we realize that He is in control. We can trust Him. We can read story after story in God's Word about people who did just that. They trusted God. You read the story of Job. I was brought to that through a devotion this week. The story of Job starts out a righteous man, a blameless man, a man who was trusting God, a man who was serving God. And then everything was pulled out from under his feet. He lost his possessions. His children died tragically. And he said that he was going to trust God no matter what. We realize here as we read in the book of 2 Corinthians, this letter that Paul is giving to this church, that Paul himself faced tremendous disappointment. We've read it prior. We'll read more next week of all that Paul went through, the shipwrecks, the imprisonments, the beatings. It's quite a list. And Paul has to, in this way, defend himself against the so-called super apostles, those who had snuck into the church and were claiming that they were greater than and were more effective than Paul himself. And Paul is using irony here to say, well, I'm not really going to compare myself, but I'm going to tell you my credentials. He's presenting his letter of recommendation, if you will, his resume of his life. And he's brought it here from the beginning of this letter, and now it comes into even sharper focus in these next chapters. Really, this week, next week, are going to be thinking about, and the week after that, how that we can give a proper boast, how we can glory in God, how we can exult or rejoice in God. At times it feels like we're just focused on talking about ourselves or our problems or our heartaches or our disappointments. And Paul is saying there's a proper way to boast. There's a proper way to engage in those that don't agree with us, who even seek to harm us, who seek to pull us down. And here Paul is making sure that the church sees that he's affirming the work of God in their midst on their behalf. And Paul wants them to see one more time the greatness of the Lord Jesus. He wants them to focus to Jesus Christ. So, church, this week, as we go through this week, there will be those moments, perhaps even this morning and this afternoon, where we will be pulled away. Let's quickly turn back and say, no, let's keep our focus. Let's keep our boast to the Lord Himself. Let's talk about Him. Let's shine the spotlight on Jesus Christ. There's three things I'm going to talk about this morning and points along the way here, but the main point goes to this idea of boasting. Our proper boast. What does that look like? What does it involve? We're going to read through this section 7 through the end of the chapter, verse 18 of chapter 10, and then I'll come back and make some comments about these words this morning. Paul says, look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ's, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ's, so also are we. For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters. For they say, and so when he says they, he's talking about these super apostles, they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. Let such a person understand that when we say by what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you, without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul's ready and certain words to those who may have thought him weak, who may have thought him of no reputation, who may have disregarded his ministry to this church and who may have cast him aside because of their own pride and their own boastfulness in their own accomplishments. Father, we pray that we would recognize this morning ways that you are calling us away from a life of selfishness, a life of being wrapped up only in our families, only in our lives, only thinking about ourselves and not looking at others and their needs. I pray, God, that we would take to heart the applications, the principles from this part of your word, and that we would live for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, the first thing about boasting is that we boast about how God leads us. We boast about how the Lord's directing us, not that we say, well, I did all of this. I took these steps. I did these things. I accomplished these goals. I set out to do these things, and here's all that I did. When we're presenting our resume of what God's been doing, we don't focus to ourselves primarily. We're saying, this is how God's directed me in my life. And we take to heart and help other people see that when we're talking with them. And so the principle here, although Paul's main point is to buffer or to build up his own authority, his own apostleship given him by the Lord himself, he's trying to make this church realize this work. We can take away some ideas for ourselves of how we can say, here's what God's done in my life. You know, I pulled out this sheet of paper, I don't even know if I can find it, of, you know, when someone says, well, tell us about yourself, I've had to write up some little brief biographical information. Reading this little thing that I did for Multnomah a few years back, I'm trying to write it in third person, this is some of the words that came out. Doug Vaughn was born in Fort Worth, Texas in 1962. Doug grew up in the farming community of Grapevine, located midway between Dallas and Fort Worth. In order to pursue God's call to ministry, Doug continued his education at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He completed a Master of Theology degree in 1990 and finished a Master of Religious Education degree in 1993. He completed a Doctor of Ministry degree from Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary in 2000. You know, when you read things like that, when I'm even writing them, I'm like, boy, that's a lot about me. But I'm hoping that as I'm saying any of those words like that, and that the same for any of us, that we're not just simply talking about us, but all of that along the way is packed with this notion that God was leading me, He was leading our family every step of the way. He led us here to Nevada from Texas, and we've been here since 1994. And that's the next part of the story. We moved here in 94 as part of God's leading in our lives, and I praise God for that. We have such a rich connection with all of you and with other friends and neighbors, and we just have our roots here now, and it's wonderful, and we love it. And it's God's leadership, and all the glory goes to God. He led us here. And Paul wants the church in Corinth to see that it's God's leading them. Don't be so quick to say, oh, well, that Paul, we don't have to listen to him anymore. He's off doing his other things now. He doesn't even care about us. And Paul wants them to see that his boast is first of all into the area of influence that God assigned. Did you see that? Verse 13, we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence that God assigned to us. So what's God assigned to you? What area has He given you to do well and to serve Him? Keep doing it with all your heart. But as you're doing it, keep saying, that's where God's put me. That's where He's placed me. That's what He has me doing. It's His work. And Paul's going to say here that He wants the church to see, hey, look, we care about you. We even brought the gospel to you, and we're the first to do it. He's not boasting. He's just saying, as God led us, we were right there in Corinth. You read Acts chapter 18, you're going to see the story of God's leading Paul to be in Corinth and all that Paul did in that year and a half that he spent there in that city. And he's boasting. And I want us to capture this idea about boasting as well. I need us to think about this as we're going through this section about what does it mean to boast? Because we often think boasting is something that's negative, right? Like, well, you shouldn't boast. You shouldn't be prideful. And we have that idea that boasting and pride go together, and often they do. But here, godly boasting, the word boast itself is a compound word that means to hold your head high. It's the word for neck. And so what's on our neck? Our head. And so boasting means you're holding your head high, but you're holding it high for the glory of God. You're saying, I'm looking at God. I see what He's done. I want other people to see that. I want to remember what God's done in my life. And I can rejoice in that. Boasting also can mean to exult or to rejoice. So I'm glorying in, I'm rejoicing in, I'm boasting in God's work. And I don't mind telling people, it's God's work from beginning to end, and I praise Him. All the glory goes to God. Well, what can we do with these principles about boasting? What does Paul talk about? He's not overreaching when he says that by God's grace, he and his team reached Corinth and they reached them first. By God's grace, God led them to bring the gospel of Christ to Corinth. So what do we do with this? One, we can be alert, just like Paul, to notice how we speak about others. Though he offered genuine critique, Paul did not disparage those who opposed him. He took a path of godly integrity. You know, it's so quick to say, you know, that no good, rotten person, my neighbor, or that person, or that politician, and we just go for it. And our mindset, even when we watch television for even a half a second, you might even be trying to watch a simple show like Wheel of Fortune, and you cannot go through that show without seeing a political ad that's cutting down somebody else. Why do we think we have to take that path? Paul didn't. He offered godly criticism, but he didn't disparage, he didn't pull down. So how we speak about other people is important. Let's do that. Let's take a different path. What would it look like if we this week refused to cut down anybody? It's hard, isn't it? Think about, boy, what did I do last week? What was my morning like? So instead of tearing down, let's build up. Two, we can be alert to how we speak to others. Paul made certain that he spoke the gospel of Christ to the people he met. He spoke of Jesus to them. He told them of their need for Jesus. He told them of the new life in Jesus. He persuaded them to believe the gospel of Christ. So instead of always making small talk, let's point people to Jesus. Let's talk to them about our great Savior. Let's tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. And let's not be timid here. Paul certainly wasn't. He was not a timid man when it came to the gospel. Others might have said, you don't need to listen to him. He's balding. I don't know if he was bald. He was short. He was unassuming. He didn't really have the best speaking ability, apparently. And people picked up on that and they made fun of him, these super apostles. Paul didn't go that way. He said, look, let the gospel be the thing that we talk about. And he says, In Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile, to the Greek. So the first thing here, we boast about how God leads us. That's verses 13 and 14. The second thing is that we boast about how God works through us, as we look to verses 15 and 16 here. Paul says, we do not boast beyond limit in the labor of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. The second thing is, as I mentioned, Paul is boasting about how God works through him and his team. How? One, he doesn't compare his work to someone else's work. And two, he doesn't claim that someone else's work is his. We might say he doesn't try to steal their thunder. And as Paul tells that church, we don't boast beyond limits in the labor of others. Paul keeps his focus on God's work through his team and him. And even as he gives this mild rebuke to the church, Paul states, but our hope is that as your faith increases, that we'll have an even greater area of influence as we take the gospel to lands beyond even Corinth. As we go beyond this place. Paul envisions the church growing in their faith. And the implication is that Paul had spent extra time and effort in nurturing this church to maturity. an effort that he might not have needed to do if they had listened to him in the first place. In chapter 3 of the first letter of 1 Corinthians, he says, I should have been giving you more by now, but I'm still giving you the milk of the word. He says, that's to your detriment. He says, you're prideful, you're boastful, you're zealous for all the wrong things. And he says, church, I want you to grow up in faith. And as you do that, then my focus won't have to be always on to you. I can look at ways that God's leading us beyond this body and by this place and this city, this area of influence. He wants them to grow up. The principle is that Paul will not claim another's work as his own, though. And he won't take what doesn't belong to him. How does he counter this? Well, first he counters by this tendency to claim someone's work as his own. He, instead of taking undue credit, he gives credit. He gives credit where credit's due. I think we can learn from that. We go into 1 Corinthians again. These are the words that Paul wrote to the church in that letter. This is from chapter 3. He skillfully gave credit. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Some are saying, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this other group. And Paul says, look, this is how it went down. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Notice what he said. Did you hear it? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Like Paul, let's be quick to give credit in a godly way. Let's be honest here. Let's be humble here. Let's be the ones to shine the spotlight on God's work through us. Let's make much of God's gracious work among us. You know, it's humbling to think that next July will be 20 years serving as the pastor of this church. It will be humbling to think of the new chapters that are being written even now in our ministry together. And I want us to not be a church that just sits back and waits for the next thing. I want us to step boldly into the future together, trusting God's leadership for this body, that he's got this. This is his church. This is not Doug's church. This is not Debbie's church or Dale's church. This is Christ's church for the glory of God. It's his. And we are silly to think that we can boast about all that we've done apart from the work of God. Anything that's happened that's been to help advance the kingdom, to build up a church body, to bring to maturity those in faith in Christ, it's been by God's leadership. There has been some struggles. It's so hard to hear the words, Pastor, we're leaving this church. That's so hard. And Paul is saying, don't leave this church, Corinthians. No matter what you do, don't leave it. It's not my church. It's not Apollos' church. It's not these super apostles' church. It's God's church. So hang in there together. You are created to do good works for the glory of God as God works through you. So don't quit the church. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that say, enough. Don't give in to the culture that says, you don't have to be part of a church. That's false. If we're in Christ, then a big part of being in Christ means that we are connected to each other. We're in his body. One of you is an arm, one of you is a foot, another of you is a leg, but we're all connected, and Christ is the head of the church. So let's look to him. Let's boast about him. And just in case the church missed it, and just in case we missed it, it's right here in verses 17 and 18. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Paul goes out of his way to direct them back to Jesus. Let's go out of our way to direct each other to Jesus this week. There's a lot that's going to be happening. We might not even be able to sleep tonight if we know what's coming this next week. I don't know. I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for peace to reign in this nation, that we will trust the process of voting, that we will trust our neighbors, that we will most of all trust that God is in control no matter what happens with the outcome of this election, and that He is still on His throne and that we can look to Him. As one of my fellow pastors says, our hope, our ultimate hope, does not fly in on Air Force One. Our ultimate hope is in the Lord. And so if we're going to boast about somebody and what his accomplishments are, let's boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want you to see this church. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's the central point here, in case they missed it. So boast about how God's leading, boast about how God's working, but most of all, boast that God's with us, that He's standing with us, and we're boasting in Him. What does that mean? Well, Paul is citing here, he's giving shorthand for a passage from Jeremiah. He's taking them to the Word of God, which is a great place for us to start. Anytime we're uncertain, let's go to the Word of God. We don't know what is happening, let's go to the Word of God. We don't know what to make of this life right now, let's go to the Word of God. And Paul takes them right back to the Word of God. And he says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here's the full text from that passage in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. This is the Word of God. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declared the Lord. Paul makes clear that his and their proper boast should always be in the Lord. By God's grace, they shine the spotlight on Jesus. They give Him the glory. And so, for example, as we read in this text in Jeremiah, if we boast only in our wisdom and say, I am so smart, I've come up with this new thing that can help people be connected. It's called this iPhone. If we boast only in our technology, if we boast only in our medicine, if we boast only in our great technology, then we've missed the point. It's not about us. And Paul's saying, church, stop making it about yourselves. Paul wants them to make certain that they do not steal God's glory. He wants them to see that a self-focused, self-absorbed, self-promoting lifestyle is exactly what should not be the character of anyone in the church. And in this case, especially those who serve as leaders within the church, those who boast only in themselves and their abilities stand alone. Paul says it in the next verse. It's not the one who commends himself, saying, look what I've done. Here's my resume. Here's my accomplishments. Here's all of my education. Here's what I've done. It's not the one who commends himself who is approved or who passes the test, but it's the one whom the Lord commends. I like that. Another way of thinking about this word commends is to go to the most basic meaning here. And it means, it's a compound word that means to stand with. So let's think of it like this. The Lord approves those he stands with. Christ makes them his own letter of recommendation, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Christ Jesus makes us his letter of recommendation. Here's the church. Jesus applauds them. He applauds us. He delights in that church. He delights in us. He loves us. And he calls them. He calls us to be part of his Father's family. Through God's amazing grace, God stands with us in Christ Jesus. Consider, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus lived and died and rose to life. By God's grace, we who believe Jesus now stand with the one who stands with us. Praise God. By God's grace, we share in and benefit from Christ's life and death and resurrection. Think about Jesus. He became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think about that. Marvel at Jesus. He who was rich became poor so that through his poverty, we who were poor might become rich. We might have life in Christ now, abundant life, joyful life, a life of peace, a life of focused living for the glory of God, of purposeful living, of not just going through the motions every day, of not going through life focused inward, but looking, God, where are you leading? What do you want me to accomplish this day? What are those good works? Hearkening to the words of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do those good works which he prepared long ago so that we would walk in them. We are his workmanship so that we'll do good works for the glory of God. Hold your head high. When the enemy says, you're nothing, say, no way, I'm a child of the King. I belong to Jesus. By his grace, he's adopted me into the Father's family. I'm part of the kingdom of God. Do not believe the lies of Satan who says you're worth nothing. Your accomplishments mean nothing. Your work is worthless. Say, no way. God's set me apart to do good works for his glory. He's got them all in his mind, his wisdom, and he's put them out there for us to accomplish those good works that he's ordained. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? God's work in our lives through Jesus Christ. So let's boast in Jesus. Church, hold your head high today. Look to Jesus. Praise him. Exalt in him. Rejoice in him. Seek to please him. Seek to honor Jesus. Get out the megaphone and turn up the volume. Let people hear your proper boast. Yes, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And if you don't know Jesus, then today call out by faith. Say, Jesus, I recognize that you are the Son of God. I recognize that I've dishonored you. I have stolen the glory that you deserve. I have robbed you of your glory. I've lived a life apart from you, and I need you. Jesus, I want you. Paul kept working this reminder to the church and calling them to remember the gospel, to turn, to repent, to live what they say they believe. So let's do that. And if you do know Jesus, then live like you know him. Remind yourself, that's who I am. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm a beautiful new creation. He's making me new. He's justified me. He's made me right before God. He's making me saving me by His grace. He has saved me. He is saving me. He will save me. He will bring me into His glory. I'll be in the presence of God forever by His grace. So boast, rejoice in God this day. Let's pray. Father, there's so much more that we could see here and think about in these moments. Thank you. Thank you for your work on our behalf. Thank you for your gracious work. Thank you for your leadership, your gracious leadership in our lives. Thank you for standing with us, that you, by your grace, enable us to pass the test. You have declared us not guilty through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that tremendous gift. And thank you for the gift of enjoying Jesus now, of knowing Him, of serving Him, and serving with Him to reach this world with this gospel message, this good news of repentance and faith in Jesus, this need for people to turn to you, God. I pray, Father, for an awareness on our behalf this day, this week, that we would hold dear these precious truths from your word, and that we would boast, make our proper boast in you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for the privilege of being able to meet needs in the community. We know that that's by your hand. We certainly have such an abundance, and we're grateful that we can share that. And just like you directed the Church of Corinth and the church in Macedonia, may we be a people who are ready to give an offering to you. May we give our very lives to you. May we declare our praise to you. May we give all of ourselves to you for your glory. We love and adore you in Jesus' name.